Very good evening to you. It is Leah on MKFM back with another MK Mental Health Hour, where we dedicate an entire hour every single month on a Sunday at about 7 o'clock with local organisation Arthur Ellis Mental Health Support to provide a bit of a safe space to discuss a variety of mental health topics as well as share expert practical advice. So tonight we are going to be talking all about donut economics, which I know nothing about, but I'm very interested in. But before we get into the show, John, welcome back. Lovely to have you with
us. Lovely to see you. Lovely. Thanks for having me back.
No, it's an absolute pleasure. So before we get into donut economics, I am really interested in that.
Yeah, I don't know anything about it either.
Okay,
so
great.
It's going to be really... I've had a crash course from Georgina, but...
Learning for us all tonight.
A big learning thing for all of us, yeah.
Brilliant, brilliant. Well, before we get into that, if people haven't heard about the great work that Arthur Ellis Mental Health Support do, mm-hmm. can you tell us a little bit about it and what you guys have been up to?
Absolutely, yeah. So we are working on the third phase of our website. So we're building in lots of things. It's going to make the customer experience to getting referrals done and getting support a lot smoother. So that's in its full swing right now. What we actually do and why people refer to us is that we're a mental health organization. So we have a one-to-one service. We see about 2,000 people a year in Milton Keynes plus, and that is funded by us working with the NHS, by working with schools, education partners, as well as businesses where we do training programs, and then that helps us to subsidize support for the people who really need it. So we see anyone from the age of 8 years old. So literally no thresholds. People can come to us if they need any help. They don't have to be ill as such. If they just need some steer or someone to talk to, then we're here for everyone in Milton Keynes.
And if people want to find out more information and get in touch with you, how can they do that?
Yeah, they can go to our website. It's arthurellismhs.com.
Brilliant. Fantastic. And we're also joined in the studio by Georgina, who is a local technologist. Hello, Georgina.
Hello. Thank you so much for having me on here.
No, thank you very much for joining us. So tell us a little bit about you and your background, Georgina.
Thank you. Well, I'm a technologist that wears a number of hats, and I just want to talk solely focused on one of the projects that we've been running for a couple of years, which is Milton Keynes Donut Economics Group. And yeah, it'd be interesting to share that with you and take you on that journey that I've been on myself for the past 2-3 years. And I wouldn't say that I'm an expert, but it's certainly a different way of thinking.
Yeah, I mean, I'm guessing it's not actual donuts.
It does have a sweet spot.
Okay.
But
I like that.
Have donuts at certain events that we run.
But I'm listening.
But it's a little bit more involved as well.
Okay, well, I'm very, very intrigued. You've teased that beautifully, Georgina. So thank you very much. We are going to find out more about donut economics next. So this evening on the MK Mental Health Hour, as always, we're joined by John Manning from Arthur Ellis Mental Health Support and Georgina Hodgkinson, who is a local technologist. And we're talking about donut economics, which I've just said I have no idea about. So, John, why are we talking about economics with regards to people's mental health?
Yes, well, I'm going to let Georgina talk about what donut economics is. But generally, economics, I think it goes way back to a Latin word, which basically means lacking. So it's a really strange way to think about economics, but somebody needs to be lacking. So someone needs to be more well off than someone else, and for there to be a scale.
Right, okay.
And something that we can actually measure. So economics is essentially the needs that we all have. So what we've done for this show is we've tied it in with a mental health model, which is called the biopsychosocial model. So there's three elements, if you imagine sort of crossed over Venn diagram circles. One has a knock-on effect to the other. So bio is our physical health. So that is how healthy we are, our body, our physical being. Then you've got psycho, which is our mental health or our psychology, our behavior, how we're spending our time, how we're thinking. And then we've got social, which is our environment. So that could be, it could be environment in the sense of outdoors, but it could also be our housing environment, could be the level of income that we have, all of those sorts of things. So generally speaking, if somebody has an issue with, let's say, a job loss, that's their social element that's been impacted. So a way for them to protect their mental health is to cover that up, because that's been impacted, and you're left with bio and psycho. So you can have a look at how do you improve your mind and how do you improve your physical health. So it's just a way to, I guess, cover up the one that you're struggling with and focus on the other two, and that will in turn help the one that's covered up.
Right. Okay.
If I've explained that in the right
yeah,
way.
Yeah, I think I'm with you.
Yeah, it's
I
kind of a framework okay. of improvement.
Right.
So the biopsychosocial model is something that we use quite a lot, quite regularly. It's been around for a very long time in science. And it's really interesting to see how the areas of donor economics actually fit in with each one of these fundamental mental health needs, which is why we've tied them together.
So that is called the biopsychosocial model.
Yes, okay. Absolutely.
Okay, so that isn't donor economics.
That's not donor economics.
Okay.
But the donor economics are the needs that we all have, and they relate to the biopsychosocial model.
Brilliant. Okay, and now I'm going to cross over to Georgina to tell us a bit more about donor economics then.
Well, I'm going to try my best in a very short time. Kate Raworth in 2017 wrote a book about 7 ways to think like a 21st century economist. The idea of this is you have a outer circle, if you can imagine, and it has 9 earthly planetary boundaries that if we go beyond, we're going to be in trouble. And it's things like climate control, acidity of the ocean, air pollution, etc. But there's an inner circle that if we fall into, we're not meeting the needs of everybody in society. And so we're looking at things like food, health, mental health, obviously, as well. But it's also looking at income. It's looking at housing, transport. And it's really the SDG goals from the UN that's there. So when I was talking about the sweet spot, we're trying to find that sweet spot between those two circles that we can thrive without overbearing the planet.
Right, okay.
And I suppose from a donut, a donut is 3D, isn't it?
Yes.
So you said it like slipping into. So if you think you're walking on the edge of a massive donut and one side is towards the hole and the other side is towards the outer edge, you kind of want to be walking around on the safe bit, which is right in the middle of the dough, the fleshy
right,
bit.
Yes, that's right, yeah. It is. Yeah. It's the dough of
the
donut.
It's a balancing act.
Yeah. Yes, and it is. And it's very complicated how things correlate and how they cause other problems. We need housing, but we can't use all of the land for housing. And how do we get that balance right? And it's trying to start a conversation, discussions, and they're complicated. And so donor economics gives us this framework, this mindset, but also this method of how we have these conversations and how everything is related to each other.
And I suppose that balancing act may impact on people's mental health if you slip one way or another.
Absolutely, yeah, absolutely. Well, it has a massive impact if you slip over. So, you know, our climate change and that sort of thing has an impact on everybody, not just their mental health. But on the if you slip into the hole and the other side, on the inside of the donut, then your income's affected, your family then might be affected, and we'll talk about how that might impact people. But even as a fundamental starting point for people, it's these things that they can use to improve their lives. And you know, if we all do something individually, collectively, we're going to improve.
Brilliant. Well, absolutely fascinating. Never heard of donut economics before, but in those 5 minutes, you guys have nailed the explanation. So thank you very much. And I'm really interested to continue the conversation next. So this evening on the MK Mental Health Hour, we're talking all about donut economics with John Manning from Arthur Ellis Mental Health Support and Georgina Hodgkinson, who is a local technologist. So we were just finding out about the biopsychosocial model, John, before the ad break. If anyone missed that, can you just briefly just run us through that again?
Yeah, so the biopsychosocial model encompasses our well-being. So our well-being is how healthy, happy and comfortable we are. So if you think about, people have probably heard about Maslow's hierarchy of needs and all of that sort of stuff. So the fundamentals that we need as humans. So biopsychosocial essentially is a method of us looking at breaking our lives into 3 bits. So we've got our bio, our physical health. We've got psycho, which is our psychological health, and we've got social, which is our environment that's surrounding us. And if all three of those things are great, then we're going to be in a good place. If one of them gets impacted, like a physical injury, for example, then we can work on the other two to improve the one that's impacted.
Okay. And we're now going to kind of spend a bit more time on each of those different areas.
Yes.
So now
yeah,
we're going to talk
about the easiest to sort of break it down into each one. Yeah.
It's like it's a big topic, isn't it, to try and get your head around.
It is. And they all have an impact on each other. So this isn't really like individual things. It's more of a Venn diagram where they cross over and they talk to each other.
Right. Okay. So
if you imagine bio, for example, our physical health, that would be things like if we've got a physical injury, you don't immediately think, oh, their mental health is going to be impacted. But well-being is our health, comfortability and our happiness. So if our health is impacted by a physical injury or whatever else it might be, then naturally it's going to have a knock-on effect to our mental health, which is our a state of our well-being, and that determines how we deal with different situations.
Right.
So if we've got a physical injury, or maybe it's a busy period at work, or there might be other things going on in our lives that's stopping us from exercising, that's going to lead us to probably be quite irritable, frustrated, maybe feeling lethargic and a bit sluggish. Therefore, it's going to have a knock-on effect to, let's say, social, where we don't fancy going out with our friends anymore or talking to people as much. So we start isolating ourselves. So that's how these things can have a knock-on effect. But that's an example of bio.
Right. So of everything that John's just been running through there, Georgina, what part of those falls into donut economics?
Donut economics has 22 topics, so it's again
very broad.
It is very broad, and it correlates with what you're doing, and that's why Milton Keynes Donut Economics Group do like a mapping of how that correlates to what an individual is doing, to a grassroots community, a parish council, even a city network, even countries, because this is a global movement that's happening with donut economics. So how does it work? Last year on International Women's Day, we held a What Does Good Health Look Like in Milton Keynes? And we were asking various different people that attended, what are the barriers for good health for women? And it was childcare. And it seems quite sort of back from health, but the stress and the responsibilities have that long-term health issue that builds up over time. And so this is what we're trying to discover with the data, as although the life expectancy for affluent areas in Milton Keynes and the less affluent are 8 years different.
Wow.
That's the data that we discovered. But we're trying to look at the thematic, what is the barriers? And childcare was one of the ones that came out of that.
And that's where it has this weird knock-on effect, because you look at life expectancy and people passing away, and you don't really tie that to them maybe having kids or childcare issues 40 years earlier. So I guess it's kind of this mechanism of having a look at what are the root causes of these health issues, of these biological issues, and how do we begin to start solving them? Either, well, you've said before that this like an individual level as well as countrywide, there's a variety of things that can be done about it.
That's it. And each area is going to have its different demographic and its different advantages and problems. And so what we're doing with Milton Keynes Donut Economics Group is creating a data portrait, and that's available on our website that you can have a look at. It is a first iteration, and it's got these stats that I'm referring to, and as simple as the fact that we've got so many children in poverty in Milton Keynes. And again, we're not all working to the same levels, and that's why we've got different health issues depending on what area of Milton Keynes you live in, and obviously the access to those mental health services as well.
And if childcare is getting in somebody's way, it's from a well-being perspective. At Arthur Ellis, we like to help people to achieve their well-being, so it's not necessarily just about saying, well, I've got kids, so I'm not going to be able to exercise, so I'm going to write myself off for 18 years until I get to my own time. But it's about trying your best to make adjustments. So we're just coming out of winter, nights have been drawing in, people's exercise has probably changed, so you know, oh, if it's dark outside, I'm just going to stay on the sofa all night, which happens. And I think everyone would admit that's the way
it's not
it
very
goes.
Inviting, is it, to go outside in the dark and
exactly.
the cold at the minute.
It's cold and horrible. So, you know, what can you do in your house? If you've got really young children and you don't have childcare, is there something you can whack on YouTube? Could you maybe, while you're putting them to sleep, rock them by doing squats?
Yeah,
you
know, that's a good idea.
Whatever it might be, to try and make adjustments. Being a parent is extremely physical as it is. So it's partly about being kind to ourselves that, you know, you're still getting exercise. It just doesn't look like a treadmill at a gym. But equally, there are a variety of other things that you can do that doesn't mean, you know, sweat dripping off your nose with a group of other strangers. There's loads of things that you can do to make sure that it isn't a barrier.
Brilliant. And we're going to continue that discussion next. So we've just been finding out about the bio part of the biopsychosocial model, John. Now we're moving on to psych. So tell us a bit more about that.
So I think people think psycho and they think that black and white film.
Or
quite like a detrimental term. I just started doing the nice thing.
Yeah, I did too. Sorry.
It. Yeah, it's catching. But what it actually means, back to Latin, and I think it's in Greek, actually. Psycho means when your mind and body is one.
Right.
So it's actually a compliment. So next time someone calls me a psycho, and we are,
thank you very much. I'll take that.
It means I'm incredibly together.
Yeah.
But what psych means in the biopsychosocial model is our behaviour, it's our beliefs, it's our self-esteem. It's the different ways in which we've learned from a very young age how to cope with the difficulties of life. So when it comes to donut economics and these needs that are present, especially for young people, how we solve those has a massive knock-on effect to people's psychology.
Right, okay. So do you have any examples of that, Georgina, where psych kind of filters into the donut economics?
So we've been running the data portrait of Milton Keynes, and we've got the first preliminary stats that we're using, and that's available on our website. And it sort of states that in 2023, 94% of 16 to 17 year olds in Milton Keynes were in full-time education. But then it also then states that over 11,000 children are in relative poverty in Milton Keynes.
Yeah, it's a lot.
It is. A shocking statistic.
Yeah.
And there is a lot that is causing this, and we need to make smarter decisions on how this affects the psyche of a child and the parents as well. So, for example, if they're getting up, they're trying to get to school, but the transport is not the same as others, that is going to affect their well-being.
Absolutely, and even we did some workshops with some young people who would, you know, they've been in situations, really bad situations, where they're going to be impacted for the rest of their lives. Or on average, if there's a young person with a problem and it's not necessarily sorted or delved into or looked into or impacted by the age of 14, they're 50% likely to have a lifelong impact.
Wow.
So when it comes to child poverty or, you know, developing those coping strategies, what they're developing coping strategies for, because it might be that they're developing coping strategies because they're seeing everyone else at school having different things than them, or you know, the newest games or whatever it might be. How they cope with that and how they learn how to cope with that has a massive knock-on effect to who they're going to grow up to be and who they will be in the future. So it's those sorts of things that we're talking about. And rather than having a look at it from a face value of there's something up with this kid, which isn't the right way to put it, I know, but that's probably how people would think about it.
Well, they're not behaving in the same way as
others.
Yeah,
the stereotypical general way that you would expect given their age and whatever. If we're actually able to use donut economics to figure out what the root cause is of that issue and start putting things in place that are going to solve that, that's going to give them the best fighting chance for the long term, rather than just looking at why are they behaving so erratically.
It would be then looking at the transport, it would be looking at the kind of access for them and things like that. Right.
Yeah. And again, it links back to food as well, as simple as the free school meals. But also beyond that, Milton Keynes College have bursaries for certain things so that they can access the same level of sustenance that others that are in a different position
and
financially.
And not have to worry about it.
Exactly.
Because, you know, from an anxiety perspective or from a psychological perspective, having to wake up in the morning and not knowing if you're going to have three square meals, you're not going to be bothered about starting to think about the climate or the environment.
Or even learning in general.
Or learning, because
that's not your priority, is
no,
to get a certificate and it's you're just hungry.
Absolutely. So psychologically it has a massive impact. So that's what, well, we're endeavouring to try and solve it. But from Georgina's perspective, like the cause issues, it's an incredible thing to look into.
Absolutely. And I know you mentioned about that data portrait. If people do want to find more information about that, you mentioned it's on your website.
Yep. So it's www.mkde.org.
DE for donor economics.
Donor economics.
Very good. Okay, thank you very much. So we have looked at bio, we've looked at psych, and next up we're going to be looking at social. So this evening on the MK Mental Health Hour, we're talking all about donut economics, joined by John Manning from Arthur Ellis Mental Health Support and Georgina Hodgkinson, who is a local technologist. We've been finding all about the biopsychosocial model. We've ticked off bio and psych. Now we're moving on to social.
Social, the biggest one, really.
Okay.
People think that physical health is big, that psychological health is big, and they are, but social basically encompasses everything. So it's your overall environment, it's your schooling, your income, the amount of food that you've got, like everything that we've mentioned so far can also tie in with social.
So I can see how it all kind of interlinks and it can be quite complex.
Absolutely, right. So your income is going to maybe have an impact on your child's education and all of those sorts of things. Mm-hmm. But if effectively social or your social environment is also tied into, from a mental health perspective, how bothered are you about it? So there's some people who really look at climate change and are really impacted. They're very nervous about it. There's all of these things. If you've ever watched the news, which I'm sure the majority of people have, it sounds awful most of the time. There's not like a happy news station, unfortunately.
No.
All of it's quite depressing, to be honest. Mm. So this has a massive impact on people, especially their psychology. And when we start having a look at how do we solve these social issues, the first thing that we've got to do is to get people motivated to do it and actually believe that they are going to have an impact on it. So Georgina, you've got some good social issues, and we can see how, I guess, motivation of Milton Keynes, but probably the motivation of the country has changed as these things have become more prevalent in our lives.
Yeah, I mean, Milton Keynes, donut economics, brings network of networks together. We're trying to get groups together, and one of the groups that we network with is Climate Cafe, and that is about having your concerns about the climate heard, because getting a group together that feel the same way or that have real stress about what is happening to our planet and they feel that there's nothing that they can do about it.
So that's actually a gathering of people in a cafe talking all about climate change.
That's right, in Milton Keynes.
Right.
And they're on Facebook. If you Google Climate Cafe, you'll find out when their next meeting is. But I mean, something that it's all about being heard. One of the stats that we did for the data portrait is in 2022, for the local elections, there was a political average turnout of the voter of 30.9%.
Yes,
in Milton Keynes.
So in Milton
just
Keynes.
Over 30% of people voted.
Yeah. Gosh. So people are being elected on 30% or obviously of those votes.
So that's 90,000 out of 300,000 people.
So why would people not be voting? Why are people not going out there? We know that it's important.
Well, this is where the psych crosses over with the social and has an impact.
Right.
So if psychologically we aren't motivated to do something, and people are motivated for different reasons. So for example, if we break it down into three areas, the first area, you've got adversity. So people are very motivated by social injustice. If they see something bad that's happening, like, for example, Just Stop Oil sitting on the M25 or wherever they're sitting, they're very, very motivated by adversity. They're seeing something wrong and they want to do, no matter what people's views are about how they're doing it, they're motivated. You can't really take it away from them.
No, true.
So you've got adversity, especially as even if something wrong happens to your friend or you deem something, you know, bullying or whatever, you know, the parents storming up to that other person who's been bullying. That's my motivation through adversity. It's very good at getting stuff done, not necessarily thought through and in a really rational way most of the time, but it's good at getting stuff done. Then you've got goal setting, which I think the majority of us work towards. So that is SMART goals. It's what is your goal? Is it bite size? Is it specific enough? Are you going to be working towards it steadily? And that's a real surefire way of rationally working towards getting something done. But then you've got the third one, which is called cognitive dissonance, and people might have heard of it before. And that's kind of like where you're motivated to, but you don't really see the impact, or you've got a conflicting idea, like voting, for example. I could do, but nothing's going to get done anyway.
Right, okay.
Or quitting drinking. I really want to quit drinking, but all of my friends, the only time we get together is to the pub, so I'm going to carry on. It's when you're motivated to, but your environment means that you basically just stand still and just carry on with doing what you're doing. And that's kind of what we're seeing with that.
That's kind of what's happened there.
Yeah, you end up going nowhere.
Right. And have you got any other examples that you want to share, Georgina?
Yeah, I mean, there's lots here that we can go through. But I think the best thing is to go to the website, come along to maybe some of our meetings and look at what the indicators, like you were saying about goal setting. We are just pulling out some of the indicators for how people are not voting, and that's an indicator.
There must indicator. Be so many more.
Exactly. And so we want to get this data a lot richer and a lot more specific to certain areas in Milton Keynes, maybe. So this is just our first iteration of the data portrait that needs to have a lot more data installed on it.
And people can look at how they're reacting to it as well, like these different social issues. I hope that from people listening, people might have a look at a little bit deeper and think, right, that's what it is on the face of it, but actually it might be stemming from X, Y, and Z.
Yeah.
You know, that's what's really bothering me, but there's no point in me shouting to the rooftops about this thing if I individually at my home do something about this thing, and this thing. It's going to have a knock-on effect to make that end goal better and improve that. So it's just a different way of thinking about these issues that we're seeing being presented to us. You know, like, for example, anxiety in schools. Absolute epidemic. There's so much of it. But if we think socially about what are the things that might be causing that, like lack of food, poverty, child poverty, bullying or whatever, if we can start having an impact on those things by either getting out to vote or doing things where we're redirecting our own lives slightly, or reaching out to support organisations that can help us, they are some steps that we can take that almost might not make sense on the front of it,
yeah,
but they will have a positive impact on our mental health and our well-being in the future.
Wow, it is a really big topic, isn't it? A really, really fascinating one, talking all about donut economics. We're going to do a bit of a summary to try and consolidate all of the information next. So this evening's MK Mental Health Hour has been a big one. It's a topic that I'd never heard of before. I feel like I've learned so much, and hopefully you have as well. So the topic has been donut economics. We've run through a biopsychosocial model. John is going to give us a bit of a brief summary. If you've missed any of it, then please listen to John and you can find out more info.
It's such a broad topic. And really, from a biopsychosocial standpoint and combining it with a donut economic standpoint, it's never been done before. Hopefully we've done an all right
job. You've done very well.
And explained things in an all right way. But it's essentially looking deeper at what is being presented in front of us. So from a biopsychosocial standpoint, that is how our well-being is structured. We've got our physical health in our bio, we've got our psychological health in our psych, and then we've got our social environment and our surroundings in our social. So donut economics breaks these three elements down into much more detail, because really, from a social standpoint, it might be that a child is really struggling to go to school, but actually it might be that they are experiencing food poverty or child poverty in general. So it's a different thing that you need to focus on. And I suppose the purpose of this show was for everybody to not necessarily look at what's right in front of them, look at what are the root causes of this. And if people are concerned about climate, if people are concerned about anything within their lives that might be broader than they feel that they can do something about, if you do look into it deeper, start having those conversations, then you're going to be able to find something that you can have an impact on and begin to make some change.
And Georgina, these are big conversations to have, aren't they? But you're kind of saying to encourage people to just start talking about them.
Yeah, it's not going to be solved in one conversation, and we don't want other talk shops, but it's trying to, the four pillars that we're trying to do in Milton Keynes Donor Economics Group is this awareness that donor economics is a different way, a mindset of joining the causes, the correlations, and getting that community together to talk and have difficult conversations. What is the priority? We want housing, but maybe that housing needs to be in a particular place, but we need the transport. So we're going to have different priorities, different passions that we have, and we need to get those discussions happening so that we can look at how everybody is thriving in Milton Keynes, and that within the sweet spot of the planet. And that's what donor economics is trying to do.
Balancing on the glaze rather than tumbling into the hole.
Oh, very good. Like that. Very, very good. And if people want to find out more about donor economics and how they can start having these conversations, I know you've said about climate cafes and things like that. People want to find out more information about you and donor economics. How can they do that?
So throughout the year, we're going to be looking at thematic days, and we have been helped by MKU where we hold those event spaces. But the first point is our website, which is www.mkde.org.
Brilliant. Thank you so much for this evening, Georgina. It's been absolutely fascinating talking to you and finding more about donor economics. I'll definitely be checking out your website. And John Manning from Arthur Ellis Mental Health Support, always lovely to have you with us.
Thank you so much.
If people want to find out more about Arthur Ellis, how can they do that?
Yeah, absolutely. Whether it's our one-to-ones, whether it's corporate training, whatever it might be, we're the place for well-being. So head over to arthurellismhs.com.
Fantastic. And I'm going to plug our website now as well.
Go
give you all
it.
The websites, because if you've missed any part of this podcast, we will be putting it up over on our website at mkfm.com, and hopefully we will see you for another MK Mental Health Hour on the first Sunday next month.